Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to another episode of Rue's Kitchen. I'm your host, Jason Madison, joined always by my co-hosts, Bethany Anderson and Anthony Mays. Welcome. This is the last episode, season finale, season two of Euphoria.
Last call for food, folks. Kitchen shutting down.
Oh my gosh.
And we actually hear the name of the high school multiple times now. We can no longer call it Euphoria High.
Nah, it'll always be Euphoria High to me.
Always.
And we saw police.
Right. Where did they put that? Oh my God. Oh God. Yeah. No, that really bothered me when you've got, I mean, we're just going to get right into it. When you got Nate driving 90 again, drinking a Bud Heavy again with a gun in the car, and then he calls the cops?
Yeah.
What?
For a season that had episodes that I hated and episodes that I loved, this episode really gave me a lot of mixed feelings. There were some just flat out terrible moments in the episode that didn't make any sense at all. And then there were some really good moments that were nice.
You want to be optimist, Jay? Let's start with the good. What did you like?
Yeah.
What did I like?
Wait, hold on. He was lying, folks.
Yeah, no. I did like Maddie finally getting in that ass and putting her paws on Cassie. That was great. We got the slap, that sound effect. Shout out to the audio, what's the word I'm looking for?
The sound design team.
Yeah, the sound design, but that's not the word. Damn, the Foley people. Shout out to the Foley people because that slap sound effect was perfect. And then when she shoved her into the brick wall in the hallway.
That was a satisfying thud right there.
Yeah, it really was. So I thoroughly actually enjoyed that. I was much like the third friend yelling in the background.
I didn't like it. Not at all. Because we needed to see more. We have experienced Cassie and Nate hooking up for the entire season, and all we get is a push into the wall and a backhand. That's not enough. It's not enough. And of course, after the show airs, Twitter goes crazy. Everyone is so upset that that our boy Elliot is sitting there singing to Rue for 2.5 minutes. Yeah. You know what? Like, to keep it on brand with the show, what they should have done was to have him sing to Rue, but show the fight scene in the back.
Right, yeah.
And then maybe Cassie would be singing along.
Exactly. a good old Cal moment, you know?
For sure.
Why not? I needed more. And we did get a quick flash of BB.
She's egging
her on. She stood up, I was like, there she is. She was there the whole time. What the fuck?
Yeah, I guess we couldn't even really fully enjoy that moment because we needed more ass beating.
That's right. We
finally got Rue reading the whole letter that she wrote to her dad. I like that moment. I thought we got some closure there, you know, just as an audience, because they kept going back to this scene of, you know, the memorial, and we finally got to the end of that, and that was good. And I guess my favorite moment, which even though it was my favorite moment, it was still kind of fucked up because I don't understand it in the context of the show, was at the end of the play where they're, you know, hugging each other and they're comforting each other, which is preceded by a nice moment where, you know, Rue tells her how she loves the play. But was that part of the play? So it's like, even in a moment that I thoroughly kind of enjoy going back and thinking on it, I'm like, wait, if that's the end of the play, was the phone call part of the play as well? Like
Jason, what do you think this is? Like a well-written TV show? Like, what do you think this is? Come on. Right.
It's whatever you want it to be, Jason.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Left up to your own interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I liked.
Yeah, Rexy, the phone call at the end was nice. Yeah. That was the good, you know, culmination of at least the last two episodes. Kind of the whole first two seasons, because Lexi and Rue start out as really close friends and then pretty much have not talked very much at all since then. There's been a lot of distractions. I'm glad you got the stuff you like. I liked Cassie going up on stage and turning it into even another layer of reality. And then the mom's up there and no one can stop her. And everybody's like, is this the play? And then you get people chanting Lexi in the crowd, started by Rue. I love how Rue shrunk down in her chair to start that chant. I like that. Drawing a blank. There you
wait,
go.
Wait. Okay, so that actually brings me to another part. I think it was actually my favorite moment in the episode was when, and I don't know the stage manager's name, the black girl, when she's talking to Lexi backstage. And they're having the talk about the show. And, you know, she said, this is the only thing I've ever done. And it's a disaster. And she says, well, at least it's not boring. And I just thought that was a great, like, for people who are involved in like entertainment showbiz, like, I love that thought process.
That's real. Yeah, that's so real.
Because it's like, yeah, you can have something that's a train wreck. And, you know, if you're a creator of something like that, you're going to feel terrible. But like, you entertained a crowd, and really that's what it's all about. You kept them engaged the whole time, and they're still waiting for the end of the play. You're sitting literally in the back of the auditorium, and people are just sitting in their chairs like, well, this is so good. I need to see the ending, you know?
Nobody left.
Yeah, except for Nate.
It's almost like they're talking about the show itself, Jason.
Yeah, exactly. Very meta of them.
At least it's not boring. I wasn't bored. I'll give you that.
So yeah, that was a part that I really enjoyed, their interaction and just how she kind of squatted down and you know, talked to Lexi when she was having that moment. I like that was really nice.
All right, let's get to Nate and Cal.
Jesus,
what the hell is going on? He drives over there 90 miles an hour. He's drinking. He's got the gun. He loads the gun. He walks in. Cal is having a party, having an orgy.
A soiree.
He's got some interesting characters, but there's one thing that was unforgivable about this scene, and that was the natural light. I am so outraged that we've got some grown-ass adults. Cal is 40. He's 40 years old. He's a grown-ass man. He does pretty well.
Yeah.
Why are you buying natural light, dog? Who hurt you? Why are you doing this? And it's just out on the table. It's probably warm. We're talking 70% foam at this point. Don't bring natty light to an orgy. Nobody wants that shit. God damn it. And Nate comes in there. He can't wait to just bust up this scene. Everybody is looking at him like, what? Oh, new enter? into the orgy? Are we going to get to play with young Nate? Eventually, they all leave. And Nate kept the flash drive. So the burning of the CD and the giving it to Jules was a waste. And he calls the cops on his dad. And that's it.
So there's so many bad things about this scene. The gun is probably culprit number one. Why does he have the gun? He doesn't bring the gun out. He doesn't have any interaction with the gun.
They violated Chekhov's law. Introduce a gun, it has to go off. The gun didn't go off. He just loaded it.
Yeah, and he never even presented the gun or acted like he was going to present a gun at all in the scene. Violation number two is if you gave Jules the disc, but you backed everything up on a flash drive, and you told Jules that, hey, I want you to destroy this, and then you give it to the cops. Now, does Jules have to appear in court in order to corroborate all of this, that she's underage? Now you've just made this even messier. You wanted to protect your dad's business. You've effectively just ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get any of that, why any of it made sense. How could the police just arbitrarily arrest him? How do they know that people are underage or non-consensual? It was a lot of question marks in that whole ordeal.
Let's not answer any of those. Let's just have the cops come in and then let's cut away. And that's it for the end of the season.
I was thinking about that because I think with Nate still having these nightmares, maybe he decided like, okay, I'm not going to shut up about any of this shit. This is bothering me. So let me try to end this in some way. Let my dad face some sort of consequence. And I guess he's just going to rock out with his dad in prison.
Yeah, we did get the clarification on the dad fucking him in the ass nightmare that he's had it since he was a kid. Also, we got to remember Nate drove straight from the play to go do this. So he's a little torn up emotionally and he definitely made an impulsive, irrational decision there. So
right,
he's created an even bigger mess for himself. Cal, all right, sorry that you're partying at the office nonstop. Days are over. But honestly, I'm not interested. Like, I guess the Cal flashback episode was good. And I think you guys like the pissing in the foyer monologue more than I did. But get him out of here. I don't want to deal with Cal in court in season 3. I have no interest.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. I don't care to see him ever again. I think that I'm cool on that. No more Cal. Like, he was such a terror this season that I'm cool on ever seeing him again.
And Jay, I think what you're saying about Jewel is that was Nate just back on his manipulative bullshit, right? He's endearing himself to her, but then he's doing whatever he wants at the same time. So who knows if it'll come back to, like you said, if they have to depose her. Probably not. I would say that it's going to stay secret, but it just shows Nate's a fucking asshole. We already knew that.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, we always talk about how, well, on Twitter, like, there's things that you want to say after we've, like, recorded. That was one thing. I was like, something is just so, like, Nate is up to something for him just to give the disc and be like, oh, do whatever you want with it. Okay. You've been, like, terrorizing me for this entire school year. And now you're just going to hand me this disc and tell me do whatever I want with it? No. Something seemed super fishy that he was just able just to hand it off and just ride off into the sunset to go see Cassie. But no, of course he backed it up. Of course he had to keep it. It's been such a staple in his life since he saw the tapes. Of course he's going to back it up. I think it's some sort of like sick, twisted mental thing that he just couldn't let it all go.
Right. And so he also confirmed for us about the dream he had in the last episode about Cal having sex with him, that this is a recurring dream. Mm-hmm. This is something that he's been dealing with for a very long time.
That might be enough to fuck you up. Yeah.
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 So, that's actually what stopped the orgy. Yeah.
Yeah. Those people are down for a lot, but...
But not the father son. No. Get down. Which brings me to another major issue that I have with this episode. What is this timeline? The play is going on in a couple other timelines.
Yeah.
I don't know when is this happening. They don't establish it at all. It's just like, yeah. Simultaneous with because the way that it's cut, it's almost simultaneous with the Fez situation, which, you know, kind of happens during the bulk of the episode, which we know is happening at the same time as the play. Nate just left the play. This lighting makes it seem like it's a midday golden hour. I don't know.
It's a little after school play.
And that was a whole other thing. When Rue walks out at the end of the episode, it's definitely afternoon. And I'm like, watching the play, and it seems like this is something that would happen in the evening. The fact that, like, all of these people are there, I don't know. It just, the timeline of all of this was just, didn't
Jason,
make
Jason, what do you think this is? A well-written TV show? Yeah.
It always comes down to the editing for me, man.
Like, yeah.
They edit this thing together just with whatever tonally they want to connect with, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not about time. That is not on their mind at all.
Time is a construct.
Well, okay, Bethany, separate podcast. Okay, slow down with the time is a construct of man. Don't get me going on that. We got too much to talk about.
But what one thing I was really like messed up as far as the timeline, because we see Rue have this moment of going through withdrawals. Clearly it's happening over a weekend where Maddie celebrates her birthday and, you know, she finds out about Cassie and Nate. And then she's just sober as hell sitting at this play. And then they cut and she's like, oh yeah, I went to Elliot's house a few days ago. A few days ago? What? When? When were we able to fit this in? I'm so confused. Like, was this play on a Friday? Like, did we go through a whole week of...
It could be months later, B. It could be months later.
I was so confused. It made no sense.
Here was the second most unforgivable thing about this episode, besides the Natty Light. All right, that is number one. Don't bring Natty Light up to my orgy. Rue just yada yadas, and then I stayed clean the rest of the school year.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? We end episode six. Mom's on the phone crying.
Yeah.
Because they can't get her into rehab. We flash forward to the play. Like you pointed out, she's fine. She's sober. She looks good. Her skin looks good again. Her hair looks nice. And then they end the play. They end the season. And they're like, yep. And then I was clean.
Yeah. So I think when she's with Elliot, they have like this kind of weird interaction where he's like, yeah, I'm still using.
Yeah, I'm still going to do drugs. Sorry. Yeah. Can we be friends if I'm doing drugs? Probably right. Not.
Yeah. And so... To me, the biggest sin of the episode of the whole season is Rue running off on the plug twice. Where's Lori? Where's her money?
All right. So I don't have as much of an issue with this as the internet seems to.
Yeah.
That's not done. Like, we're coming back to that for sure. We talked about how convenient it was that she escaped that one time, but the Lori thing will come back. They chose not to address it this season for reasons I'm not sure. Maybe they were a little constrained budgetarily or time-wise, because it sure seemed like we were missing about an episode or two from this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't... Her staying clean for the rest of the school year when she had a month to sell those drugs and give her the $10,000, and her not appearing in any form or fashion in the episode, just... I mean, it was just wrong. I don't know how else to put it. It was just wrong. They should at least show some kind of Lori sending somebody to go find her, or having a phone conversation that we can't hear or something. You know what I'm saying? Them eliminating her from the storyline after her escape, I think, was just a sin of the show. I didn't like that.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, because we haven't touched on the whole Fez and Ashtray Faye situation.
Yep.
But Faye did name drop Lori, knowing that the conversation was being recorded. And so I'm wondering if this is supposed to be some way that they're going to use this as an out for Rue, that maybe Lori was like busted or some shit. I don't know.
Right.
But I thought that was really interesting that that's the only time we heard Lori's name in like the last two episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like, even if Lori did get busted, which I had that thought as well, it's like they could have addressed it in some kind of way, you know, like to leave that.
They could have showed, at least show a cop or, you know, SWAT team like busting up in the crib or something, a bird chirping, anything.
That's why I'm saying I think it's coming. I think it's coming next year. Like, I think that is the logical out, like you said, B. I think that's the only way to undo this giant clusterfuck that they've created with Fez and with Rue, but they did not have enough time to do all that. So they yada yadded it, and we'll be back.
They could have. There's a lot of shit in this episode that they could have kept to themselves. Put that shit on the editing floor, because great song, Elliot. Cool.
Yeah.
And he sings for 2.5 minutes and then says, I'm still working on it. Bro, you sang the whole song. That's it.
B, did you know that he's a musician in real life?
Oh my God.
Maybe that's why they did it.
Yeah, they had to
give him a chance to sing.
That was in his contract for sure. So, you know, the real meat of the episode was the Faye, Fez, and Ashtray scene.
And what's your boy's name? Custer.
Custer the Buster. Yeah. He finally got what was coming to him. Snitches get stitches. In this case, no stitches. Just a knife to the throat.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about that first, though? Like, how the episode just started just so intense. I literally, 5 minutes in, I had to pause it. I just had to, like, take a breather. I had to take a lap and just, like, kind of get it together. Like, okay, what is this episode really about to give us? Because if we just start off with a blade to the throat, like, shit is about to get real. But they really just, it was so drawn out. Like, I understand, like, they want us to feel like we're in this moment, but they really just did not answer enough. I really hate the fact that we just didn't get any closure with anything as far as Lexi and Fez. And again, the whole, you know, Faye, how she's just like staring at the door as the SWAT team is coming in. It's like, is she feeling a sense of relief? Is she afraid? Like, what's happening in this moment? It was so much happening. I was confused. I had to watch it back and I was still confused.
Yeah, I think they drew it out especially long. There was a part that bothered me towards the end when Fez gets shot. He's just sitting there on the ground. They shoot about 1,000 bullets. None of them hit him. Mm-hmm. And also they pick him up and walk him out after he's been shot in the gut, which in all likelihood could be a mortal wound, but I'm sure it won't be.
No.
And so, you know, it's like they cuff him and walk him out. Don't give him any medical attention when he's probably bleeding out right now. But yeah, I'm sure the next shot of him will be in jail talking to Lexi on the phone during a visit or something like that.
Yes. So they did do some nice foreshadowing stuff from the first episode to this episode with Fez and Ash. We literally had the shot of Ashtray with the red dot on his face. That was in the first episode, but it was super blown out. So you couldn't see that there was a red dot, but the light was crazy. Also, there's a shot of young Fez looking down the same hallway with young Ashtray on the ground. That was a callback. So I like that stuff. But the escalation into just chaotic gunfire and violence is what happens in Sam Levinson's movie Assassination Nation. In only 90 minutes in that movie, it goes from essentially the same type of setting and location as Euphoria, which is, you know, high school, lots of sex and drugs, all that. But by the end of the movie, everybody's got like AKs and is running around on the streets. So this is another part of his repertoire, which is he has a weird violence fetish. And so this scene with Ashtray lying down in the tub and just staging an all-out warfare with SWAT guys and shooting a policeman close range with a shotty before presumably getting killed. Of course, we don't see it confirmed, but come on, man. He's not walking away from that. Fine. Like, I guess I was already stretching my disbelief by having two kid drug dealers as the main characters, like primary characters in a show. But for them to tie it up like this in just the second season, I'm like, can't we just let them be drug dealers for a while? I know they killed Mouse and I know that he just killed Custer, but I'd rather live in the fantasy land where they just do their thing and are fine than kill a kid, send Fezco to jail with a bullet wound, and have to do, like, they're going to have to do some serious maneuvering to undo this. And the only way I see it is you pin Ash with the murders, he's dead already, and then Fez flips on Lori, and that solves their problems. But I don't know.
I can't see that, like, working in the legal system, but maybe right. In Sam Levinson's legal system.
Yeah, maybe in Euphoria Town, Euphoria PD.
Yeah, and poor grandma. You know, she's just trying to get some rest and there's a shootout in the next room. Yeah, I don't know, man. That was an interesting scene. I mean, you know, of course, as I'm watching it, part of me wants Ash to knife Custer in the throat, but obviously you know what the outcome is going to be. And then when he does it, you're just like, fuck, man.
You guys ever have a friend that's just like too turned up? Like, oh, yeah. That their lifestyle will get everybody in trouble? That's that's Ash. It's like, I get it. I understand you are ready to defend and take care of the crib and hold it down. But now everybody's fucked. Everyone is fucked.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we have to take into consideration, this is like a 11-year-old kid, however old he is. Like, of course, he doesn't know how to make sound decisions.
Yeah, you're right, B. This is definitely a public service announcement that babies shouldn't be drug dealers. You're right.
But shout out to Faye, though, for being a real one.
We all saw it coming, though.
She turned the corner. And, well, I didn't see her giving that Lori alibi. Okay,
yeah, that's true. That's true. Right there.
Yeah.
Custer's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Shut up,
I never
bitch.
Said that, Faye. Shut up.
Yeah. She really pulled a rabbit out the hat with that one. I was like, okay, Faye, you got a little plan going. And then, yeah, Ash kind of put all that to bed. But, you know, for a second there, we had a glimmer of hope that maybe this could work out for everybody. It wouldn't be so. And of course, Lexi will never get her card or the flowers. She dedicates.
They were so disrespectful with the cops just stepping all over this shit. Like,
yeah.
Can we get a peek about at least the first line? Like, oh, yeah, shawty, you had a great show, shorty.
Yeah. So she dedicated the play to him and he wasn't there. That was a sad moment. Got a little misty right there.
Mm-hmm.
She had to let people know. So, hey, sometimes people need to get their feelings hurt.
Right.
Shout out to Fez. You're not here, but
of
the
course,
show goes on.
Guess whose feelings were hurt the most? Lexi's.
Right. Yeah. So RIP Ashtray. He was a real one. He held it down. You know what I'm saying?
So I saw a tweet from @PopBase. I don't know who this is or if
very
this
reputable
is,
source.
You know, but it says Javon Walton, who plays Ashtray in Euphoria, reveals that Fez was the one that was supposed to die in the season 2 finale, but the script was changed a day before filming. I don't know how reputable that is, but I mean,
seems like this 11-year-old kid doesn't get how spoilers work either. Maybe you shouldn't be spilling the tea like that.
Right.
On like, Sam I'm Levinson's sure, changes.
Exactly. Like, isn't there some sort of like NDA? Like, hey, we're done filming. Don't you say a motherfucking thing. Don't you share pictures. Don't you do anything until we give you the green light. So I don't think this is true because of how everything came full circle with Ashtray laying in the hallway as a toddler. And then how he kind of, you know, loses his life in the same, almost the same spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that could, that could have been done after they shot it and
true.
Then
yeah. Yeah.
Put it together for the show. But I don't really, you know, I personally said if Fez died, I'm off the show. I'm out. So
right.
I'm not the only person who feels like that, I'm sure. And while we all love Ashtray, he was wilding, man. Like he was reckless.
Yeah.
So makes sense.
So is it the same to you with Fez going to prison? We probably won't see him again.
No, because they're gonna do some Euphoria gymnastics. I'm telling you, he'll be out of jail by episode 4 of next year, and it'll be really convenient. And you know, then we get to talk about the Euphoria legal system. And
right. So, do you think we're gonna have jail visits?
Yes, there will definitely be one scene of Lexi going to visit Fez in jail,
yeah.
And them and him tearfully confessing how sad he was to miss her play, and hopefully we'll get some fire stokage of the Fexy shipping container that we're all hoping for.
Right.
Also, we did not find out who that third child is.
Nope.
In the Jacobs family. What's going on? Who is the baby? Who's the kid?
Who is the baby?
And yo, I really don't understand what happened to Kat's entire storyline, but they really wiped her the fuck out. I really thought they were going to give her something in the last 2 episodes, and they gave us 0. They gave us nothing.
Well, I guess that's what she gets for disrespecting our boy Ethan like that.
They also benched Jewel.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the weirdest thing of this season, right? Is like
we get Jewel and Rue after the play, and Jewel says, you know, I love you. I still love you. And seems to have handled the absolute decimation that she was on the other end of in the with episode five, but
right.
they kind of put that on ice as well, and Rue walks away. So,
you know, we already know that Jewel is not good for Rue.
Right.
She's really not. And I'm glad that, you know, maybe Rue is realizing this, because when Rue picked up the phone to make a call, I thought that she was calling Jewel to mm-hmm. apologize or to make some amends, but, you know, for her to call Lexi instead, it's like, okay, she seems to be very methodical with how she's, you know, making her rounds and making her apologies and, you know, trying to patch things up. But she really just left Jewel out just to hang dry. It's like, girl, no. And she doesn't even know about the little affair that, right. you know, they had with Elliot.
Which also doesn't get addressed at all.
It doesn't get addressed at all. Yeah, I thought it was just interesting this whole season how we didn't really get a lot of Jewel's perspective. You know, like previously in the show, we got her perspective and her background and all that. And
saw her dad and had episodes kind of more focused on her.
Yeah, right. We didn't get any of that this season. And like you said, she got benched. But I actually liked the way that they did that in terms of like her getting clean and her kind of reassociating with Lexi, because I feel like that happens to people who do drugs. Like they have their drug friends and their drug relationships. And when they're not on drugs, they don't really deal with those people anymore. And it kind of brings up all of that stuff that they, you know, dealt with when they were on drugs. And Lexi is her friend when she's not on drugs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's kind of what they were showing. And I like that because it made sense. And I was like, okay, yeah, now that she's clean, she's calling her real friend who, you know, when she was clean, that's what she did. And that's what her life was about.
But the play also gave her the green light to say, you know what, I do need to reach back out to Lexi, because she just, you know, portrayed me in this play as not an asshole, not a bad person. Like, yeah. I'm just a person who, you know, lost her father and took it really hard. And, you know, I did some shit I wasn't proud of, but that doesn't make me a bad person, you know, all together. So I like how she's coming to her senses. Like, she got a chance to be humanized and not just like, you know, have, you know, a bad 2 years, 3 years define her as a person.
The voiceover comment of maybe I wasn't that in love, maybe I was just high. Devastating. Yeah. Devastating. Yeah.
That is real. Oh
no. I'm sure it is real. I'm with you that it's real. That is rough. That is a rough thing to say. And that just kind of feeds into the, you can't trust this damn narrator. You can't trust the damn thing she says in this voiceover. It's omniscient, but it's also unreliable.
Unreliable. Yeah.
And so that actually like kind of made me question, are we going to get the ending that be predicted of Rue, you know, dying in the end? Because now she's on a different trajectory, you know, she's clean. And I, you know, of course you don't want to see your clean friend like fall off the wagon. And how are they going to, you know, portray her next season? You know, this show has largely been about her getting to this point. And are we going to have a season where she like falls back into those habits? And I would not be excited to watch that. I'm sure, you know, they're going to make it interesting, but I want to see her be clean and, you know, live a different lifestyle, maybe find out what she wants to do with her life that isn't drugs.
You want to know another thing that's fucked up? I'm sorry. It literally just came to my mind.
Go ahead.
Where is Maddie going? She had this whole scene.
Oh yeah.
With babysitter lady, and she gave her a going away present. And we got nothing, nothing.
No.
She didn't say, I'm transferring schools, I'm getting the fuck, we get nothing.
Mm-mm. And the whole Minka Kelly with the cameras, that was just so she could give Maddie the dress.
The dress, which was weird. I feel like there was a little bit more to that. She was probably doing something with those tapes. I don't know.
I'm telling you, Jason and B, there's two episodes that weren't in this season.
Yeah.
There's two whole episodes of plot lines where Kat figures out her webcamming shit.
Yeah.
Where Maddie talks about her future. Where Jewel and Elliot actually have a conversation about what they're doing.
Yeah.
where Ali and Rue's mom have a romantic date instead of going to some trash play at a high school. There's so much they left out. There's so much underdeveloped characters and areas for them to explore. This show is very expensive to produce. They shoot on film. We talked about that. The music budget's through the roof, and they do some very ambitious filming. So things got cut. It's never been more obvious. Right. And season three will either pick up the pieces. Hopefully they have enough time to do a full season. But also, like I said since the beginning, I'm not watching this show for the storylines. That is not why I'm here. I'm here for the acting, and I'm here for the filmmaking.
For sure.
Same.
Yeah. But it's fun to pick it apart because it's so comically bad in some moments.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Twitter is having a field day with this finale, man. Oh, boy. Yeah.
But you know one thing, though? I don't like it when people say, oh, Euphoria is just about a bunch of teenagers having sex. I feel like this season, we didn't get that like we did in season one. And so for people to still just try to put it in this whole category, like, oh, you guys are watching people who are supposed to be teenagers having sex and doing drugs, is like, do you guys watch the show at all? Like, do you guys understand like what we're digging into with this, with the whole storyline? Even though it's not, you know, cohesive, it's still more than just teenagers having sex and doing drugs.
Yes, there wasn't a lot of sex in this season at all. It's more violence, honestly.
Very suspenseful.
Yeah.
And plenty of drama.
Right. So one of the final scenes was Cassie and Maddie in the bathroom. And I thought that was a pretty good moment. We have Maddie putting a Coke bottle to her cut foot, which was the only injury she suffered in the ass beating that she put on Cassie. And so Cassie's got her bloody nose and she's trying to break the tension in the room. And it's
like, Sam, please give us more. How do we get to the point where you slamming this bitch up against the brick wall and you continue to chase her? And then we just see like a little blood on her nose and everybody just in the bathroom, just like, yeah. Like, yeah, what? What happened?
Yeah.
What what's happening
just a setup
here?
It's just a setup so they can say the lines. Like, it doesn't make narrative sense.
You ever have that moment where you're like, damn, I'm hungry, but I don't want to go out to eat. It is way too expensive and I don't know what to make because I'm not really into cooking. Guess what? It's real easy. It's real simple. I got a solution for you. HelloFresh. They deliver pre-portioned ingredients to your door, including farm fresh produce that arrives within a week, so you get convenience without skimping on quality. You skip the trip to the grocery store, saving you the wait and the long lines and ensuring you don't waste money on excess food. Also, 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. Let me say that again. 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality, and you can save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. It's money back in your pocket. All right? So, to review, A, great food. B, less expensive. C, less expensive than even if you went grocery shopping yourself. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen with meals ready in around 30 minutes or less. 30 minutes or less. I'm talking about right now, I'm recording this at noon. By 12:30, lunch is served and it's fire. Come on now. You know I did it. I don't do this thing while I read the ad. Like, oh, what do you want me to talk about? I'll say whatever. I got to live it. I got to experience it. And I did. I had the beef tenderloin and cheese fondue. Ooh-wee! Fire. Fire. I've got leftovers in the fridge right now that I'm about to destroy. That's right. Those 30 minutes that I was going to take to make a meal, I lied. Not making a meal right now. Eat my leftovers. But guess what? Tonight, dinner, we back at it. So make sure you're doing your due diligence. Make sure you're getting your HelloFresh living right. Save you time. Save you money. make sure everybody going crazy in the house. Go to HelloFresh.com/bomb16 and use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's right. It's HelloFresh.com/BOM16. Use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, it's America's number one meal kit.
I could see that playing out in either direction next year, which is I could see Cassie and Nate getting back together and more mess there. I could also see Cassie and Maddie kind of burying the hatchet because they had one little squabble, you know? Like, it left it open-ended enough where he could do whatever he wanted, and you're right. You're both right. It wasn't totally satisfying.
That's the other thing, like, thinking about the ending. I don't see how all three of these characters exist now, like, because if Maddie's leaving and then Cassie and Nate are together, then where's Maddie? If Nate and Cassie break up, then Nate doesn't really have a place in the show.
So. Driving around aimlessly all day and all night.
Yeah, so I feel like one of them has to go at this point, you know? Like, that's kind of my feeling. And even, like, Jewel, like, you know, now that her and Rue have broken up, like, if there's no lingering get-back situation, where does Jewel fit in this storyline? I would love to see more Gia and for the show to kind of dive into the sisterly bond and what is going on with Gia, you know, that Leslie hinted at that in, you know, the previous episode. So I wonder if next season we're going to get more of her story and what her life is about. I think that would be cool. But yeah, I think next season we kind of have to do away with some of these characters. And it's funny because Dominic Fike went on like Fallon or something, and he was saying that he's in season 3. And I'm like, why?
He's got another song to sing off of his LP.
Yeah, like what purpose does he have on the show now? Like, I don't, you know? He's cool. Like, he was cool for the moment and did what he needed to do, but I just don't.
So I have a question. So season 3 is going to come around. What is at the top of your list? What do you want to see happen, like, episode 1? Because I think everybody wanted Nate to get his ass beat episode 1. Of and season 2, and it happened. So right. What would you like to see in season 3?
Okay. So just rock with me here, all right? Nate takes over his dad's business, drops out of school, starts doing architecture, whatever the hell it is, full time, even without a degree. Okay. He takes all that money and he becomes a vigilante at night. He literally becomes the American psycho that he's always wanted to be. He's just driving around, drinking beers, just wreaking havoc. Cops are his friends, apparently, so no issues there. Fez is in jail. He flips on Lori. Lori gets pinned. Fez gets out. He and Lexi finally go on a date. Rue gets away scot-free. She's sober. But then at one point, there's a dramatic drug relapse. Probably related to something with Jewel. They're still going to keep the love triangle going with Jewel, Elliot, and Rue. Cassie screams a lot. Lexi gets like a movie deal or something, and she makes Euphoria within Euphoria. And there you go. That's your season 3.
Wow. Yeah. I like that. I'm not sure about the whole like Nate and his.
What do you mean? It's a natural village origin story, B.
Yeah.
He needs money to fund his psycho operation of just just ruining people's lives one at a time.
Well, I think the only way we can keep Nate and Jewel in the show is if they start dating.
Great point.
I like that.
Great point. That's why he gave her the disc.
Yeah. So
she's a free agent now, right?
You know, yeah, exactly.
Rue's not interested, so she's on the market.
And so, you know.
Oh, one last thing. Guess who are cellmates in prison? Fez and Cal.
Right. That'd be great.
After he beat his ass and gave him the lecture a couple episodes back.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love to see Fez get out of jail by some magical loophole. We want to see that. I want to see him and Lexi going on sweet dates, going to get ice cream and things of that nature. Yeah, I want to see Rue being a good big sister, but maybe G is going through some dating drama or whatever her life, you know, has for her. Now she's going through some turmoil. You know, she was getting D's. We gotta bring those grades up, Gia. You know,
BB and Kat are gonna start a podcast about how no one listens to them, and they just gonna spill the tea on everybody because they're there for everything, but no one pays attention.
Yeah, I want to see Kat begging for Ethan's love and trying to get him win him
Hell
back.
No, Ethan. Ethan's gonna be the new Nate Jacobs. Right. He's gonna have all the hot girls at school throwing themselves at him. Kat's gonna be in the rear view. Serious question though. When Fez gets out of jail, what's he gonna do?
Right.
He can't go back to drug dealing. At least I don't.
He's
think
gonna
so.
Go. He's gonna go get a farm somehow.
Oh,
right. Him and Lexi are gonna live happily ever after. Yeah. You know, little house on the prairie.
Yeah. Little house on the prairie. Yeah.
Yeah, Fez with all these old ass references. Stand by me. Yeah, that was Little House on the Prairie. You've never seen that show.
We had to have another boomer older millennial reference.
No, that's before my like I never even saw that show. Yeah, I know what it is, but good Lord.
I will say grandmas will put you on some old shit. I used to watch Little House on the Prairie, In the Heat of the Night, like all the old shows, Matlock, whatever the fuck. Like
Matlock.
Give me all the old shit.
Columbo. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like I guess the next step for these kids, and it's funny because as all the wild stuff that we've seen, you would have expected that we would have had some sort of teen pregnancy situation.
Again?
Well, I'm saying like where somebody's actually
gonna have a baby.
Yeah, like has a baby.
But you know, teen pregnancy in real life has dropped dramatically.
Yeah.
So that's really not like an issue anymore. I think like a study came out like ever since 16 and Pregnant aired, it really has affected the decline in teen pregnancy.
So thankful for MTV, you know, educating the youth. That's what we need.
Yeah. But I mean, I just don't know what other types of drama they're going to bring, you know, and I feel like that's an angle that I can see them pursuing in some sort of way.
It just makes me think that all of the rumors that, you know, there's some friction between some of the actors and Sam, it might be true because the fact that we really just didn't get Kat, McKay is gone. Like,
yep.
Who is that guy at that point? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So many people have just been discarded that it's just like, okay, we're done with that. But you can tell it has to be some like real life drama for it. Kat had a really dope storyline. Like she was a really dope character and how they opened it with her, like, you know, not having confidence and, you know, got all these influencers, you know, making her feel some kind of way. And they just stopped. Like we wanted more. It was a lot of girls out there who sees themselves in Kat's character. So to just leave that hanging was kind of irresponsible in a way.
Yeah. What were some of the rumors? I haven't heard.
Just that she was beefing with Sam Levinson on set and wasn't working out too hot. I don't know. Barbie Ferreira did show up in an episode of The After Party, so she can get other jobs. So
yeah,
not like she's not a viable actress, so something's going on. But let me ask both of you, this is always one of my favorite questions going into the end of a season, and we did get Rue yada yadaing it and saying she finished out the year sober, but we know we can't trust her. So when are we picking season 3 up? Are we picking it up shortly after the play? Are we picking it up a couple weeks after the play? Are we picking it up in the summer? Are we picking it up next school year? Are they going to have a summer vacation slideshow of all our characters just at the beach having fun? Where are we going?
I think we're going right before graduation. I think the last season will lead into a graduation. That's kind of the vibe that I get from the show. And they said, like, what, 2024 is when we're expecting season 3 or something like that?
Right, yeah.
Because of Zendaya's incredibly busy schedule.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope nobody ages in between now and then.
that's one of the reasons they definitely had to get rid of Ash. Because by the time we come back, he's going to be like a man.
Grown man. Yeah. This isn't going to work, kid. Thanks for everything. I feel like they missed a golden opportunity when she was doing her narration at the end to give us a Stand By Me type of ending to the season. I would have liked that right there.
Okay. So I'm thinking it's going to pick up a year after we were originally introduced to Rue.
So beginning of the next school year.
Yeah. Like, you know, a little bit into the summer, about to start the next school year. Because in my mind, Rue has nothing but time to get into some shit. And so we might see her go into a program. Maybe, you know, it takes months for, you know, her to actually go to rehab if this is still something that she is down to do to help herself, to further help herself, if she's going to continue these NA meetings. Like, I would like to see Rue a year after we were introduced to her, because when we saw her, she was just a fucking mess. And she said she had no intentions of staying clean. So, you know, even though she, you know, is supposed to be clean throughout the end of the school year, does she want to be? Because she understands, like, she wanted to be sober for Jules. She did, you know, say that that was, you know, something for her. But now that she's kind of like leaving her in the past, she's going to, you know, leave her alone. Maybe something else happens. I don't know. Or maybe it's Gia. Maybe we're introduced to Gia and she's going through some shit over the summer. And, you know, she's kind of following her sister's footsteps. I would like to also see some more of Rue's family introduced, because it's not just her, Gia, and Leslie. There's more people. We saw some at the memorial, but like, there has to be more. Like, you know how we saw someone post on Twitter, like, oh, we would love to see Andre 3000 on Euphoria. It's like, right. Yeah, like, could play an uncle or someone who dealt with drug issues in the past and is clean, is, you know, maybe picking up, maybe he knows Ali or something, you know, like, I don't know. That's just me rambling.
A shout out to Suze for taking that great picture of them at the memorial, by the way. That was like a pretty awesome moment.
Yeah. You know,
with Lexi putting her hand up, and it's the perfect, like, awkward teenage picture. And then she recreates it in the play. And then also the moment when the stage manager tells the fake Cassie to giddy up. When she tells her to get back up on the pony. I really enjoyed that moment. I hope we see more Lexi getting into her bag and directing and becoming a writer and into the real world. You know, this play should be her first foray into what she actually wants to do.
Just going
to
say, she did kind of use up all her material on her first play. So
sure
she's
going
to have to do some living. She's going to have to do some living of her own before she, you know, can get back in the lab and drop the sequel to Our Life Part 2.
Well, her next one's going to be a love story, right? Her best.
Oh, she has so much now.
Yeah, now she's got a story with a murder, all kind of, you know, she's going to, when she pulls up to the jail, she's going to have her pen and pad in hand. Like, hey, babe, we're going to take this and make a meal off of it. Mm.
Yeah. 21 questions by Lexi and Fez.
Exactly.
So watch, Fez is somehow going to have an iPhone in jail, and he's going to be able to see all the clips from the play and be like, oh shit, so then this happened.
Yeah, you think someone was recording it and blasting it on social for Lexi during the performance?
Well, as soon as Cassie got on stage, the phones came out.
That's true. Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. He'll see that part for sure. Yeah.
That went viral. So I wonder how that's going to play at school. That definitely is a viral moment.
Lexi's going to get suspended for this wild ass show. Girl, you can't have this going on. No one stopped it. It's like,
nope.
Let's keep it going.
Let it ride. Well, I hope you guys got your food orders in. I hope that you enjoyed this last morsel before the kitchen closes for the summer. But we're not done, folks. We'll be back next week for the very exciting premiere of our show called Showtime, because we can call it Showtime, even though HBO didn't want to. We're going to talk about Winning Time, the Lakers Dynasty show from Adam McKay, a who's who of stars. We're going to have, hopefully, fingers crossed, some good basketball on camera. That's one of the hardest things to pull off.
It's hard to shoot sports on camera.
So difficult. So we'll see how they do that. But I'm excited. I know B and Jason are excited. And we'll catch you next time on Showtime.